We're reading from Shamati, Article 219, called Devotion. You can watch our lesson on the website and ask questions there, and we will ask them here in the lesson. The book, Shamati, Article 219, Devotion. The work should be with love and fear. With love, it is irrelevant to say that we must be devoted to it, since it's natural. As love is as fierce as death, as it is written, for love is as strong as death. Rather, devotion should be primarily be concerning fear. That is, when one still does not feel the state of love in servitude, and the servitude is coercive for him. There is a rule that the body does not feel a thing that is coercive, as it is built by way of correction. And the correction is that the servitude, too, should be in the love, in the form of love. And this is the purpose of dvikut, as it is written, in a place where there is labor, there is the sitracha. The servitude that should primarily be in devotion is on the discernment of fear. At that time, the whole body disagrees with one's work, since it does not feel any taste in the servitude, and with each thing that the body does, the body calculates that this is servitude, is not wholeness. Thus, what will you get out of working? Then, because there is no validity in the taste of the servitude, overcoming is only through devotion. This means that the servitude feels bitter, and each act causes him horrendous suffering, since the body is not accustomed to work in vain. Either the work should benefit oneself or others. But during the katnut, smallness, one does not feel any benefit for oneself, since one does not presently feel any pleasure in the servitude. And also, one does not believe that there will be benefit to others, since it is not important to himself. So what pleasure would others have of it? Then the suffering is harsh, and the more he works, the suffering increases proportionally. Finally, the suffering and the labor accumulate to a certain amount until the Creator has mercy on him and gives him the taste in the servitude of the Creator, as it is written, until the Spirit be proud upon us from high.
Our work is divided into two parts, two periods, the time of concealment and the time of revelation. Every time, even in states before the revelation, there is a time which is more concealment and a time where things are more clear, felt more, not in spirituality, but nonetheless something clears up. And this is how we operate. During the time of revelation, we get a bit more of an illumination in our feeling and understanding. And then we have the inclination and connection and love toward our matter, toward the path, toward the appreciation of the Creator, and so on. The goal is important. And in the time of concealment, the opposite. We don't want to advance, we're not happy about the conditions and the work. We disrespect many things. We have to go here in faith above reason and devotion and exertion, above the desire and the strength. But what can you do? These conditions, they won't change. It's the person who has to change. The change has to be that just like a person is drawn to know, to feel a good feeling that fills him during the ascent, the same way he has to be in devotion during the time of descent. And where will he take the strength for it from? It's the will to receive that works only on the fuel called pleasure. That for him is also a goal and fuel for exertion or to attain the goal. But if it's darkness, if it's concealment, where there's no attraction, what do you do then? Up to a certain point, you have to progress. Exert yourself as much as a person can. Of course, it is known how much can you, how much can't you. It's according to the fuel that a person can get from the environment, the group, the teacher, all in all, the creator, all that's outside of him, all in all. If he arranges everything, even in the ideal most way, with all the means that are set before him, if he is engaged in it, it means that he filled his the measure of the exertion, and above that fulfillment comes the prayer that he wants to pray, work without any reward, without any fulfillment, like a perpetuum mobile. A machine that works without any fuel. And he doesn't want anything. Not from the greatness of the goal or the action, and he doesn't get anything in return. Nothing. Rather, only when there is a need for a king, and that king is, it's not clear to him, not felt in him, nothing. He gets no payment or reward from his recognition that could serve him as fuel. Meaning, he's concerned specifically about the lack of fuel. And what builds all the exertion to somehow reach some kind of an action without fuel, it is called devotion. Or exertion above the human effort, or faith above reason. In Gargal Tainayim, in Achap, you have that, depending on what a person corrects and the states he is in, there's a difference, but this is actually his goal. Why? Because this is the most precise suffering. Is he truly aimed at finding the higher force, the Creator? If he reaches a state that he would really want not to want anything and not to get anything and do work without any limitations for an infinite amount of time, infinite size, and above anything that he would be interested in acquiring, that for him is actually the point that on each and every degree through it, he starts touching spirituality. That point is called the point of faith, above us reason, which is already the rosh of the partzuf with respect to the guf. That's a higher level with respect to the lower one, or its adhesion with the achap of the upper, is the obal, and so on. These are the states that are very precise, that a person can measure and advance that way. Therefore, devotion is not something that's all blurry, but as always, as usual, it is all measured with respect to a person's will to receive, that if he limits it from all sides and wants to work so that in the will to receive there will be neither reward nor fuel, nothing, not now, not in the future, then he rises to a state of discernment called faith above reason or devotion. That's it. No questions. Yes.
Joseph from Jerusalem is asking, what is the characteristics for quality exertion and quantity in exertion?
First of all, when he sees himself as included in the right environment, and operating from within it, and connecting together with them to the purpose of the studying, united with the teacher, and discovering the reforming light during the lesson, and to continue all this in the dissemination toward the friends, and especially uniting the group, and in the external dissemination to get deficiencies and pains from them in order to have the need to unite and connect in the center of the group and then raise later on the deficiencies to the Creator. The building of this whole condition should be a person's constant occupation, or the thing that a person is constantly engaged in. That's it.
Denise from Moscow is asking, what does it mean when the Creator has mercy on a person? How is it expressed?
Look, what does it mean that the Creator has mercy on a person? Because actually, how come is he obligated by anything? It's us who demand and think that he is obligated, but why? He's not obligated in anything. According to the king's customs in our world, it's interesting, this is how it always was. Besides the few last 100 of years that they were limited by the parliament, by, you know, it's no longer a king. A king, it's... So, if he says to his servants that someone needs now to cut him, that person should fall before the king, and thank for the king being so merciful and did great mercy with him just now. We don't understand this. I can't really express these things, but a king is someone who does, even though his judgment is not judgment, but mercy. It's not in our words, but that's how it is. The Malchut, judgments. That everyone gets them because it's on an infinite height from a person. It turns into mercy because that's how the king treats you from his level. And therefore, however he treats you, a person has to accept that as the most beloved thing. That is how it truly is according to the laws of the kingship. And that's how it was in the ancient world. And to what we're talking about, because of course we're not talking about the flesh and blood, but that a person does the exertion and he merits getting the strength to rise to a higher level, he actually discovers that he did not do the exertion in order to rise to a higher level, but there's a certain condition here. And he always gets help. Not that the Creator brings him to a higher level. The Creator gives him a masach. And then by the masach, he discovers it's revealed to him. The higher level is revealed to him. But on behalf of the Creator, it's always rachamim, because the person did not work on it. He never works on a higher level. He can't. He has no idea what he's working on. But put up several conditions. The exertion's important for us. From above, there's this condition made that a person, for his exertion, deserves something that he can't attain. It's always b'rachamim, mercy. And besides that, there are more things. A stony heart, there are many discernments that we can also see what we attain. We attain a very thin line. What about the rest of the great big circle that we don't work on? But later it comes from the accumulation, the great ocean of the Sidracha and so on. We don't work on all these things. It's really rachamim. But it's not called that we get it for free, because these things, they come on account of the relation between us. You are sons to the Creator. That's how it's called. It's hard to explain this. I might have to look for the words for it. Yes, Akoka.
About exerting when we have no strength, what's the state before that that still gives the person the ability to exert himself?
The importance of the goal is given to you from above. You're held from above. There are no such heroes here that they hold by their teeth and really... Each one lives out of the higher mercy. But when one is given a bit of the burdening of the heart, immediately you start crying. That's how it is with everyone. Meaning, it's not that someone here is especially weak or something. No, that's how everyone is. It's clear. But we have to understand that the exertion is not in the physical strength that I have to do something. That's not the exertion. Because if you overcome and you do something with the physical strength, it's a sign that it's a line. That it's a lie. Because the true exertion is above the human strength. You don't have the strength for it. If you can exert yourself and do something, then it's not exertion. It's just work in vain. It's not exertion. The exertion is that you exert yourself in connecting with the Rav and the group and the books and get the importance of the goal from them, the importance of the Creator, the importance of the action. And you operate on their fuel, that you don't have the fuel for the work. But if you get through them, then you will have. So it's not that later on you will do the work and that'll be the exertion. It's just work. But the exertion is in you being drawn to them, attracted to them in order to get the fuel through them, and only that. That's it. All the rest, if before you turn to them you have fuel, then it's a sign that it's just the ego, it's not exertion. If afterwards you have fuel, you got it from above. It's also not exertion. But the exertion is only in arranging the things so that you will be impressed through them. Yes.
So what can you do in order to develop that attraction towards those three means, which is Rav, group, and books? Constantly see them as the adapter, what connects you to the Creator.
And when you don't succeed?
Nah, then I don't know what to do. Search. You don't have anywhere else. That's your infusion. That's your oxygen tube. If you're not connected, die.
There's like this loop here of helplessness.
Why helplessness?
You always
forget. Why don't they help you?
No, probably they always help me, it's just that I...
No, why? If it was always, you'd never forget. This is called Arvut. Without this, there's nothing to even talk about. Search for it. Yes.
On the way, is there some... phase in which there's the ability in a person built to always return to the same means or never?
I don't understand. They bring you back. They don't bring you back. What? Obviously, they're at one point, maybe 10 years from now or in another incarnation. Who knows? You don't know that. In every moment, it's really like sliced out of the previous one. Let's say this moment now will go by, and you can either awaken, me too, each and every one. You can just start incarnating, and then who knows, maybe 200 years from now, according to the plan, you're going to get another awakening. Why? Let's say because next to you is a fly, and he's going to do something so-so, and you're not going to get what you were supposed to get through him, and you're going to go to the next turnaround.
that's even more helplessness. It's as if everything is already decided about you.
No, not decided. It all depends only on you.
So what depends on a person?
To awaken your friends. Awaken your friends.
That's the only insurance that I have?
Yes. What, you didn't read what he writes? Matan Torah, Liyavut article. From above, they give the Torah every day. From below, if you have the conditions, go for it. Here, receive it, please. You translate for him. Wait, yeah, Terence.
Tu as dit que tu as parlé de travailler sans vouloir recevoir.
You said that you have to work without wanting to receive. I've demanded it maybe a million times and it never happened. So how can you do this?
You asked to work without getting a reward. Right?
I want to work without getting a reward. I just want to work. But I see it's impossible.
What's impossible? Working or...
I just want to work without receiving nothing.
So why are you asking?
I ask.
Why are you asking if you don't want anything?
You said that if we wanted to work without receiving nothing, it would be the faith above reason. So this is what I want. I want to work without receiving nothing. How do I do that? Because when you talk, it's like I can do it myself.
Oh, no, no. No, no, no. Oh, okay. Okay. We have to move to the next part. You have to prove that you want to work without getting any reward. The proof is in the group. In this world, you're led to do something for which you're able not to demand a reward. What does that mean? Bestow to the friends, bestow to the group, start awakening them toward connection. Do it, please. You're led to work. Go. Try to make it so that you'll have no reward. You're simply theoretically crying, I want. You're given place. And do? Without actions, in practice, all these cries, they're worthless. Why are we in the world of actions? I don't want anything for myself. Please, do it. Work in the group. And connecting the people, start connecting them, start awakening them, start. Without that, all the words, they're empty. The Creator, He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear. To hear, it means that you yourself awaken a higher degree. You build it. Build it. It doesn't exist. By the way, just so you know, there are no worlds. Nothing exists. But you, by raising man, you build all the degrees up to Ensof. Let's move on to the next part.
Going to the next part of the lesson.